I want to speak to us about a journey, really. The journey that we've all taken and are continuing to take. That journey, really, that for many, if not all of us, has been through the wilderness experience, where we wander around in the desert. Since we've been born again, since we've left Egypt, that's all behind us now. We've celebrated the Passover lamb, and we've gone on a journey with the living God. And if you're like us, like me, this journey has taken you up mountains and down valleys and all over the place. And yet we can know that God has always been with us and is always with us, whether it's on the mountaintop, whether it's in the valley, wherever it's been. The Spirit of the living God, our Savior, our Jesus, has never left us. And along the way, we've been taught many things. Our experiences have taken a lot of the rough edges off us. Our experiences have given us joy in many instances, brought us to tears in many instances. We've joyed with others. We've just shared the highs and the lows with our brothers and sisters. And this has been God's gift and is God's gift to us, that we're not alone. We have Him, and we have the community that God has put us into. That community might have changed over the years, but it's still the community of God's people. But now us here, we in Oasis, we've come to the end of the desert, I believe. We've come to the end of the wilderness. And what is before us is this overflowing river, and it's called the Jordan. Now, if you read of the account in the scriptures, Moses had sent spies into the land, and they had crossed the Jordan. Maybe it wasn't quite overflowing its banks at that time, I don't know, but they had crossed the Jordan. They'd gone to look at the Canaan, the new land, and it was good. It was good, flowing with milk and honey. It was full of aspiration, full of excitement, full of new life, new birth, new way. And so the only trouble is, of course, what they saw when they looked, for the majority of them, 10 of them, all they saw was giants. And then they looked at themselves, and all they saw were grasshoppers. So these grasshoppers were looking at these giants, and the grasshoppers said to themselves and to each other, "There's no way. This is impossible. I mean, just look at us and just look at them." And so they retreated, but two of them, as we know, Joshua and Caleb, said, "We can do this. We can do this. By God's help, by God's presence, with the power of the living God, it can be done." So we know the story. They all went back. The 10 gave their account and said, "Look, guys, this is too big for us. Who are we? You know, who are we really? We're just small people. These are people who are established in what they do. They've already built their houses. They've built their towns. They've got their nations. They've got high walls. They've got everything sorted. And what have we got? We haven't got anything. It's too much for us. I reckon we should just go back." But Joshua and Caleb said, "No, we can do this. By God's strength, we can do this." But the voices of the 10 prevailed, and so Israel wandered 40 years round and around. And if you're like me, I've come to the Jordan several times in my life, and most times, I won't say every time, but most times, I've said, "This is too tough. This is too big. I'm just a grasshopper after all. and I've turned round and wandered around again and again, the same mountain, round and round again. And then God brought the Israelites once more to face the Jordan. This was the second time they'd come to face the Jordan. This time it wasn't Moses in charge, it was Joshua in charge. And the Lord gave Joshua a word, and he said, let the priests lift up the ark of the Lord, put it on their shoulders, and step into the Jordan. They got to realize that the Jordan had overflowed its banks. It was a mighty body of water flowing strongly. If you think of the recent floods we've had, it had burst its banks, and there was a million people run about, with old people, with young babies, with young children, with livestock, and they had to cross this river. And the Lord had spoken his word, and Joshua believed it. And all the Lord said was, tell the priests to put the ark of the Lord on their shoulders and step into the Jordan. Put their feet in the water. And they were obedient, and they did that. And we know that the Jordan stopped flowing. This was a miracle of God. I mean, some people say there was upstream, there was probably an earthquake, and there might well have been, but the timing was of the Lord. The timing was absolutely perfect as far as God's people were concerned. And as they did that, the water stopped flowing, and the land became dry, and the whole horde of the Israelites crossed over. And then after that, the Lord said to Joshua, tell them to take 12 stones from the new land of Canaan and put it into the on the dry riverbed of the Jordan. And then take 12 stones that were embedded in the sand of the Jordan and take them out and make a memorial to the Lord near Gilgal. Gilgal was the first place they came. And the meaning of Gilgal is the turning of the wheels. It was the place of turning. So when they did that, their new life began to unfold. It was loads of ups and downs from that point. But what I feel the Lord is saying to us right now is that at Oasis, within our fellowship, we have a Jordan in front of us. If you consider, I'm not talking about the virus, you know, that's something else altogether. I don't think that's a problem to God, actually. But if you consider what we are facing within our fellowship, I believe our Jordan are those beloveds of ours where all of us have situations that if we look at it individually, the situation in front of us personally seems insurmountable. It seems too big. It seems immovable. It's been with us, for some of us, for quite a long time. For some of us, a long, long time. And it's like, it's never going to move. It's just never going to move. But I want to encourage us, because I believe God has brought us literally to the place, and we're looking at our Jordan, and collectively we're looking at our Jordan. And while we do it individually, we also do it collectively. In other words, we press into we press into God for our own individual Jordan, and we stand with each other, so that we are, all of us, pressing into that Jordan, and it will part before us. I know that it will. I have a real, something has happened in my heart over the last few weeks, and I'm growing stronger in the assurance that Jordan is going to part. So therefore, that means for us, there are people in our family who really need healing. So therefore, God's going to heal. So we have to stand with the determination of no matter what it takes, Lord, this Jordan is going to part. You know, there's something that has to happen on the inside where we don't just remember what's happened before. We remember, but it's with a fresh looking, a fresh seeing, that we can say, not out of bravado, not out of wannabe, not out of anything other than the presence of God is with us. Because it's the presence of God for the Israelites, the ark that they carried. But we are the priests of the living God. We are the priests. We are the kings. We are those who carry the presence of God. And my cry right now is, more presence, Lord. I know you're with us, but we need the unction of a greater presence of the living God. So that when we speak, it's not out of a, I hope so, I wish it would happen, I hope it will happen, but it's, God, you're going to do it. Because God has already spoken to us. If you will remember, they didn't just decide out of their own decision, from their own decision, to cross the Jordan River. They didn't decide, this is what we're going to do. God spoke first to Joshua, gave Joshua the direction, gave Joshua the word, gave Joshua the command, and Joshua just acted on that. And therefore, when they did that, the presence of God was powerful to part the waters. It's exactly the same with us. We have to hear that living word for the now, from God, for our situation, speaking through his word, speaking through his prophet, speaking through his into our hearts, through his spirit, whichever way he chooses. We take that word and we put our foot into the Jordan. Yeah? We put our foot into the Jordan. There's no going back. You can't go back. Once you've received that word, you cannot go back. You have to go forward. You have to. Friends, if you go back, you're just going back into the wilderness. You're going to wander around the mountain once again. And I say the time is now that we no longer wander around the wilderness. We put our feet in the Jordan. We take the word of God that he has put upon our hearts. We remember the prophetic words that have been spoken to us. We declare them out. We stand against the enemy. We say, Jesus died on the cross. He died so that we might be free. Yes, Lord. He died so that we might be healed. He died so that we might prosper. He died that we might receive blessing. He Amen. Died for the forgiveness of sin. No matter what's happened, we confess it. We take the anointing of the forgiveness of God and we move forward. We don't remain in the same place of where we were. We don't remember what has happened in the wilderness. These things happened, but they've gone. And going round the mountain doesn't help. Staying in that same place is no place to be. The only place is to go forward. The only place is to put our feet with the presence of God, put our feet into the Jordan and say, this is where it's going to part. This is the time. This is the time. This is the place where we're going to stand on the word of God once and for all, encouraging one another, calling on one another. Come and stand with me. I need your help. Stand with me. Let's just put our feet in the Jordan and go forward. And I know that the time is now for that Jordan to part. And beloved, I want us to really hear what God is saying to me, into my own heart, to our hearts, for me and John, for all of us, that it is no time now to go back into the wilderness. No time now to continue walking around that mountain. We are going to walk through the Jordan and we're going to take the ground. That ground where that seems, it honestly seems too big. It seems too hard. It seems so like a thick high wall, like an impenetrable barrier, mountain that has always stood before us, in front of us. But God is saying to us now, it's now the time for the Jordan to part and for us to take that land. And when we feel weak and when we feel overwhelmed, we call on brothers and sisters, we say, come and stand with me. They would call on the other tribes and say, come and fight with us. The enemy is attacking us. Come and fight with us. We do the same with each other. We're in this together. We're in this as one body in Christ. We're in this to help each other, to refocus our hearts, to refocus our minds, to let us take a hold of the Word of God and go forward. And it may be, maybe it'll take a bit of time. Maybe it'll take a while before we really begin to see the Jordan parting, but it will part. And that word is the Word of God. It's His presence that parts the waters of the Jordan. And so my word today is that we will go forward, really look afresh, and call on the presence of God. God, we can't do this. We can't. It's not, we can't pretend. We can't do this. We have nothing in ourselves that can part this Jordan. Everything has to come from you. It has to be the very power of God. It has to be the presence of God. It has to be that anointing that keeps flowing. And so therefore we have to keep getting filled. We have to keep, and so we keep running back to our source, who is Jesus, our Savior. Keep running back to Him. Keep saying, Lord, we need a new fresh filling today. I need help today, Lord. I need help in this hour to break through. And we keep going forward. And it may be toe by toe, but we will move forward. And it'll be through the power of God, through what Jesus has accomplished on the cross. The power of the blood, the power of the word, the declaration that we keep speaking out who He is, this beautiful, eternal, powerful God who's exactly the same God who parted the waters of the Jordan for Joshua. He is the same God who's with us today. And our Canaan, as we know, are the promises of God, taking hold of His word, His truth, who He is, declaring it, doing what He tells us to do, being part of the move that God is wanting to do in this hour in the United Kingdom. In the United Kingdom. You know, we've heard of great stories that happened over there. It always happens over there. But I'm saying to us, it's going to happen here and it's going to happen now. This is the season of pressing in, of forgetting what lies behind. Forget what lies behind. We're not going to change it, are we? Bringing it up is not going to change it. Forget what lies behind. We remember how God has brought us through, but we don't remain in that place of defeat. We don't remain in that place of tears or being discouraged or saying we're only grasshoppers. No, that is not our inheritance. Our inheritance is as priests of God, as kings, and we take up that power of the living God. We take up who He is. We declare His name. We declare His truth. We declare His word, and we do not allow the enemy to blind us, to put things over our ears that we can't hear, to take away the victory of the cross. So I'm saying, take up the victory of Jesus. Not to do that means we don't give Him glory. If we take up everything that the cross has accomplished, that Jesus has accomplished on the cross, there was this amazing trade-off, wasn't there? He took our sin so that we can have forgiveness. He took our death so that we could have life. He took our sickness so that we could have health. He took our poverty so that we could have abundance. He took our curse so that we could have blessing. And all this is, and more probably, but all these things are what Jesus has done on the cross. And not to enter into those things, not to take a hold, so they're seen in the here and now, in our lives, means we're not giving him glory. We're not celebrating who he is and what he's done. It is our duty. It is our duty to take a hold of everything that Jesus has accomplished on the cross and put it into action. Get a hold of it and speak it out. Get a hold of it and live it. We need to live what Jesus has done. If we don't live it, if it's not seen in our midst, in our lives, in our speech, in our actions, then how can the unbelievers see who Jesus is? You know, words alone are not enough. It has to be the reality of Jesus. It has to be seen. He has to be seen because we are no longer poor. We are prosperous. We are no longer sick. We are healed and well. We are no longer under the curse of being under shame or rejection or all those things that Jesus took away. He took away. And do not speak it out anymore. Do not say, this is who I am. We are not those people. We are not. We are the new creatures in Christ. We have taken hold of the land of Canaan, and we're stepping into it. The Jordan is parting, and it's up to us to take a hold of all that Jesus has done, all that Jesus has won. He suffered on the cross. He died for us that we might be free. And I want to say, if we do not take up the freedom in its fullness, we are not giving Jesus his glory. And we need to take a hold of it and fight all that depression, that despondency, that rejection, that sin that might beset us. Take that, take a hold, and lay aside all those things and take hold of the perfect redemption that we have through Jesus Christ. Beloved, I encourage us. I encourage us to really make a new decision, a new consecration, a new sanctification, and say, this is my decision. At the end of it all, it's a decision. It may not line up with the way we feel. It may not line up with our circumstances. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We decide on a course. And we go for it. We go for it by leaning on God more and more and more. Leaning on him and crying to him and calling on him and rejoicing in him and worshiping him. And just saying, I have to have more of your presence. Lord, I have to. I just have to have more of your presence. I have to have who you are in my life. Or what's it all about, Lord? What's the point? It all rests on more of Jesus, more of him, more of his word and his presence, and standing against the enemy when the enemy comes with all that stuff that he always comes with. And so I encourage all of us, and that includes me, I encourage all of us to truly set our minds. It's there, isn't it? We make a decision. Now, the enemy, I promise you, is going to come and try to undermine that decision. He will undoubtedly come and undermine that decision. And we have to just withstand him and say, no, I refuse that. I refuse to be upset because somebody says that to me. I refuse it. I will not be. Jesus has died so that I can be at peace within myself, within those that live around me. I refuse to look at the problem that's before me. I refuse. I will not feast my eyes on that. I will feast my eyes on Jesus. I will feast my eyes on his word, on his truth, on what he's done. This is my choice. And I will continue on that line until what I feast my eyes on becomes manifest before me. what I feast my heart on, what I choose to worship, who I choose to worship, becomes manifest in my heart and in my life. And I will not turn back. I will not go back. I will not speak with my mouth the things that have plagued me and beset me and stood against me. I refuse to agree with what the enemy has put into my heart and my life. I refuse to agree with the enemy. He is no longer in charge of me, but the living God, Jesus, Yeshua, he is my king. He is the one who rules in me. He rules in my life. He rules in my circumstances. He rules in the circumstances of the ones I love. He is the one who rules, not the enemy. I will not agree with him. I will not agree with him. So, my friends, it's a new way of speaking. It's a new way of thinking. It's a new way of believing. It's a new way. It's a new way. And we have to decide. This is a time of decision to decide in our hearts. This is a new way before us. We are going to go through this Jordan River in the presence of the Most High God, in the anointing of Jesus, in who he is and what he's done. So this is my prayer for all of us. Today, that today marks a new day, a new season, a new time, a new land, a new believing, a new declaring, a new faith, that we will decide, no, this is our way that God has set before us, and we will go in and possess it. And that is my heart for all of us at this time. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rosemary.